is the Chazara of the Maya Science here. We'll start with the original source in the Torah, which is Parak Lama Beis, Pasachah Beis, and Bamidbar. So what does it say? So the Torah uses this language of Nikiyim. What does Nikiyim mean? What kind of thing is that, to be clean? Okay? That doesn't make any sense. And I don't think it's referring to anything like that. You don't have to read the whole story in Yoshua, but Yoshua is the historical cited example of, and again, to make our terminology clear in the beginning, we're going to consider Chashad and Maar Sinai to be the same. Okay, so there's no difference between the two at this stage. They're basically, I guess, suspicious-looking actions by the individual. Okay, what happened here in Yoshua?
They built this massive mizbeach.
Right, and that drew the ire of their brethren on the other side of the Jordan, who said, "What's going on over here? How could you be doing this? This is forbidden," right? And they gathered together their troops, and they were going to attack. Okay, but luckily, in conversing with the sons of Reuven and Gad and Chatzi Menashe, they gave a good reason, and they said, "No, our intentions are pure. We're doing this for the sake of a Kadosh Baruch Hu." Okay, and the Radak explains in number 3, what is it? He says, "Bikam Elach." So they realized, after they explained what their intentions were, that all along they were doing it for the right reason. But the initial action, right, was one that was what? Suspicious. Right?
Shady.
Right? Shady action. And they're not criticized. The B'nai Yisrael aren't criticized for wanting to attack their brethren. It's not done in a critical way. In fact, the leaders are ready to go ahead and lead them to war. So it wasn't like it was a critical thing. And what's a third source? Mishlei. Right, Matzachin, that's the key. Okay, before who? Before man and before God, or say before God and before man. Okay, fine. So the two sources we're going to focus on are going to be Yisem Nikiyim, right, and Matzachin. And whatever the meaning of the sources are, what question do we ask initially? What are the questions we ask initially?
Why do you need two?
Why do you need both? What's Nikiyim teaching you, and what's Chen teaching you? Must be two different things, right? Okay. So the first instance in halacha, I would say, that we see Maar Sinai / Chashad appear is going to be, which most people will point to this as the original source, is the Mishnah and Shkalim. So that's source 5. What's the case?
You're going to do your appropriations and you're wearing some
sort of read it.
Anatorim. Anatorim nechmas a little bit hard with chavos, a little bit minal, a little bit sando, a little bit tzvil, and a little bit kmiya. Shami yani, v'yomer me avon halushka ha'ani. V'shami yashir, v'yomer me trimas halushka ha'ashir.
Okay, so in this Mishnah, you have a very funny idea, right? What's the problem here? You can't wear, and the case I like to use is, again, the overcoat. You wear like one of those like trench coats, right, with like inside pockets. So don't wear that trench coat when you go in to give money to the Lishka. Why? Because if afterwards, right, you do well, okay, what are the people going to say? You stole. And if you get poor, what are they going to say?
Stole.
You stole. So look at the Meiri in number 4. He says, Shema Yavolidei Chashad. Right? They're going to come to the state of Chashad. Why? They're going to say... Right, so he stuffed the money from the Lishka into his pocket, right? Vim Yashir. Right, and then he cites the two sources, okay? So this is very odd. Why?
Because the guy didn't do anything wrong.
What did he do wrong? He wanted to wear a trench coat. What's wrong wearing a trench coat? Right? And he was doing a mitzvah. He was fulfilling a commandment. He didn't do anything wrong, right? So and so people think crazy things. Why should I care? Right? I mean, that seems like the most basic question. Why should I care? Because at the end of the day, I didn't do anything wrong. And it's not like an extreme case where, let's say, the guy was like wearing like a swastika while giving money in the Lishka. We're not saying that. Whereas we're saying that he's wearing a trench coat or tefillin, whatever it might be. The point is that why should he be concerned about that? What did he do wrong? And a more halachic, that's a more of a philosophical type question. On a halachic level, is there any psul in his maisa mitzvah?
No.
It's hard to say there is, right? Like, what defect, halachically, what defect exists in his action? It's impossible. Right, you can't, right? You can't say. You can't say, it might be tempting to say that, but you can't say that there's something halachically lacking in his maisa mitzvah. Then Maar Sinai, I don't think it ever worked. Okay, so, all right, so we have to answer that too. Okay, next. That's one set of questions. what's Nikiyim and what's Chayim? That's one question. The other question is that what did the guy do wrong? Right? So people, because people are crazy. In other words, people, what do you call it? Tie together, they create crazy correlations. So what? Right? Like, why are we supposed to care about that? Right? I mean, if, which is the famous Mishnah in Avos, right? Parak Aleph, Mishnah of Av, source number 7. Yeshua ben Prachia.
Yeshua ben Prachia, ben Asai, Arbali, Kabbal, Mayhem, Yeshua ben Prachia, Omer.
Okay, you're supposed to be dan lachaschos. Okay, on the surface, this presents the problem. And look at the, how does the Rambam explain dan lachaschos in number 8? So he says inyano. Okay, so if you have a guy, you don't know anything about the guy, and the action itself is neutral, for lack of a better term, it's some sort of gray zone. Now you have two directions you can go in. You can either, I'm not sure why I can't say neutral, but I guess in interpreting it, there's only two interpretations that could exist, either for the good or for the bad. Okay, you have two choices in front of you. You should always choose the good one, right? Okay, but when it comes to a tzaddik, let's say the guy's a tzaddik, right? That's your cue.
Somebody did it yesterday.
Let's say the guy's a tzaddik. I was wondering, can I borrow that Brahma?
Sure.
Keep reading.
Of all, you know, Haya, Ish Yaduish, who's tzaddik, the poor son, my son, so, Venera, low, my son, Shakol, Tiko, no sub, Yeru, all, Hayoso, my son, Rav.
Right, so what's he saying?
So let's say there's a tzaddik that everyone knows a tzaddik and is very, like, you know, broadcasts his good actions and all. If he's doing something that looks bad, even like there seems like no possible, even if it seems like it's really bad, there's no possible way he's doing something good. If just saying he's doing something good for the good.
Right. I mean, again, there's obviously some there's some rationality here. Like, if he's like, let's say he's like, let's say he's stabbing someone, right, over and over again. What? Right. Is that what you have to do?
No, but there has to be a practical limitation to this, and the example would be like
tension here, because on the one hand. There's an idea of Marasayan. And Marasayan clearly implies that if Horowitz leaves the Mikdash wearing his trench coat, right? I'm not criticized for thinking that you're, you know, up to no good. That's why you got rich, because you stole, right? There's no criticism. It's considered to be normal nihug. On the other hand, I'm never supposed to think that about Horowitz. I should always think that if he walks out with a shady trench coat, what should I think? He's just wearing a trench coat. Keep it neutral. He's wearing a trench coat. Remove the shady aspect of him. He's just wearing a trench coat, right?
Maybe he was wearing it.
Okay, so we had to answer that also. Okay, so now I think the opening is very simple. All right, so you have that Mishnah of Avodah Zarah, Parak Aleph Mishnah Tes, which says what? Nikra al Shmel. So it turns out, so what ended up happening in those days is that when you rented out your base merchats, right? So you went, and let's say it was Horowitz's base merchatz, right? So if I rented out to a guy, we'd keep the name up. It would still be Horowitz's base merchatz. That wouldn't change. People would know that to be the case, even though it's being rented out to non-Jews, right? So what's going to happen? People are going to see non-Jews. Jews are going to see other people inside the base merchatz on Shabbos, and they're going to say, "That's it." So he says, the Yish Bazeh, the Rambam says on that explanation, Yish Bazeh Chil Hashem.
Yish Bazeh Chil Hashem, the Mesh Yish Bazeh, Belo Yadah Shehu, Muschar B'yadam, is Man Katzah B'dam
Tzivah. Right, so that's the problem. The problem is that it's going to produce a Chil Hashem, right? It's going to produce a Chil Hashem, right? So what's the Rambam telling us, I think, which is going to help, which is like the opening to understanding the sugya to some extent, right? So what's the Rambam saying? What's the problem of Marasayan? Yeah, I know. What's the problem of Marasayan?
I do. That your action produces,
it's not that anything's wrong in your action per se, but that it can produce a chilah.
And that's a simple formula. Normally, when I do a ma'aseh mitzvah, there's a kiyumah mitzvah, right? And as far as I'm concerned, I didn't do anything wrong. But Chazal stuck on another product. That's key. They have no right to ever mess with the internal composition of a mitzvah. They can't do that. What they can say is that the result of your mitzvah, what your mitzvah can produce a chilah. So a person has to take into account, just a little philosophy for a second, a person has to recognize that that mitzvahs aren't just about me, right, about my perfection. There's an aspect of mitzvah that relates to the Am as a whole, that you have to be concerned about their perfection, okay? So we don't want them to relate to anything, any part of mitzvah in an inappropriate way, okay? Now, I know the question was raised, well, is every action of Marasai linked to an Isra mitzvah? And the answer is going to be yes, as we'll demonstrate. But right now, the theory is that the concept behind it is that a person has to recognize that there's a certain impact his adherence to mitzvahs can have on the Am as a whole, okay? So therefore, it's not just enough to say I didn't do anything wrong, but you must positively reinforce mitzvahs as a good, okay?
Oh, yeah, that's what it was.
Right. So I'm just reading right off the notes. So that's what Chazal did. Chazal added this component to every ma'aseh mitzvah, to the system of mitzvahs. They added this component of that it should produce an idea of positively reinforcing the mitzvah itself. So what's your question?
No, so I was thinking a little bit about what we...
Okay, what are you both for? Do you remember what we said? So Nikias really refers to each action per se.
I relate to it and how you relate to it.
That's going to be Dana Chaschus. All right? Nucky means that I have to evaluate each Maisa, okay, and ensure that within each Maisa, no chil emerges. But chain is a different idea. What's chain? Chain is more a concept, like a certain attitude a person has about the system itself, okay? What do you call it? That's the idea of chain. So that's why you need both. You need, there's one idea is, I forgot to bring the raya in. What's a good raya? V'noach. Right, what does that mean, matzah chain? What?
Yeah. The system.
Exactly. But that's the idea of matzachin. Matzachin isn't like system? Matzachin doesn't mean like it doesn't. Matzachin doesn't refer to a specific thing. It's like a general. It's a general attitude the person has. Okay. So that's the difference between chain and what's it called? And that between chain and nucky. Okay. Now. What's the how do you get out of the problem of Dama Chaskos versus Marasayim? And then we didn't do about Sisa Yashar, we'll do it in a second, but what's the difference between those two? So Marasayim, when it comes to Marasayim.
Oh, that's how I relate to it versus how you have to relate to it.
Okay, so Marasayim really means what? Marasayim is valuing the Maisa itself, okay? Meaning that it has nothing to do with, what does Chazal require you to do before you do an action? You have to evaluate the action to make sure that in the action itself it doesn't produce a chil. Okay, that's not Dana Chaschus. What's Dana Chaschus? That's what the Rambam is saying. The Rambam is saying that in evaluating the action, right, what you're ultimately doing is judging the character of the person. Right? So insofar as a Gavra is concerned, you always have to make sure to keep it within the good. But that's from the observer standpoint. But from my standpoint, before I do my Maisa, I must do what? I have to evaluate it and make sure it doesn't produce a chil. So that's why Dana Chaschus isn't a problem. Okay. You won't like the Basisa Yashra thing. Yeah, okay, fine. We don't have to do that. That's fine. Okay. So let's take up the first case in Bechoros. Okay? Our favorite case. So it's Bechoros. So we don't do the Rambam, right? Remember, the Rambam says what? The Rambam says there are three types of... Good. Okay. And Marasayim. Okay, so... And the Mishnah says what? Mishnah is a Mem Gimel Aleph from Bechoros. It says what, Gabriel? No, Mumen Elu.
Oh, sorry. Mumen Elu,
Right. Okay. Stop. 1 second. So Mumen Elu. What's Elu referring to? So Rashi says I'm Muren Bechor. Post in the call Avoda. What does that mean?
Anything that makes an animal bad to be in a car makes a coin.
Will be the same thing by calling, right? So basically, what did the Torah do? It just took the idea of mum as a universal, and said whatever applies by Bechor, what?
Extension.
Whatever applies by Bechor applies to man as well. Okay, but that can that's only limited to those mumim that that an animal and man share in common. The yes are land. So on top of that, right? What are these other ones like? What was the terminology you guys used? Banana head. Banana head or cone head, right? All those deformities are addition to the first category. Okay, so then what does the Gemara say? On the bottom, Mem Gimel Alf. Okay, Mizer Aaron, okay? So it says in the Torah, Kol Ish Asher Bo Mum, Mizer Aaron. Ish, right? A person, Sheshava, Bizarra Shah Aaron. Rashi? Right. So who to buy mama? Ha ain shava bizarre sharon. Okay. Meaning what?
Hey, you gotta look like Aaron.
You gotta be an Aaron like looking type guy. Okay. There's a certain look that the Kohen has. A certain look. A certain appearance.
Sitting right there in front of
I'm not sure, but I'm saying there's a certain look he's supposed to have. Okay. We know what it can't be though. Right. So ma'ika be'muma l'she'eno shaveh b'zar sha'aron. Okay, so then the Gemara goes on and says, yeah, so what's unique about this? And Rashi explains, ben kohen anifsal b'mum gomer, the kohen anifsal mishum she'en shaveh b'zar sha'aron. Right, so what's the difference between the two? Right, there has to be a difference. So the Gemara says, ika.
Ika mishum afule avura.
Right, and she'eno shava b'zar sharon.
Stop.
So the Gemara's first differentiation is what?
Right,
meaning that everyone agrees it's usher for him to go. It's usher for you to go into the mikdash whether you're type one or type two. Right. The only question is within type two. Right. What's the chiddush? The chiddush is that his avoda would still be kasha. Whereas by the first one, his avoda is pasul. Okay? Now, what's the Gemara's next question?
What should we use the Gemara sign?
Gabriel?
My bike and then make sure you show the Gemara sign.
Right. Which can you...
Wait, what do I translate?
Yeah.
Oh. The difference is like, is my sign.
No. It's an assay. Can a guy? Okay, what's Mara sign? What does Rashi say Mara sign is? No, I know. What's Mara sign?
He's ugly.
He's ugly, right? He's meusin. And why he suffers from eyelash problem or tooth problem, right? Both are very problematic, right? So he doesn't have. He's not type one. He's not type two. Type three is he's just ugly, right? It's just there's something off about his appearance, grossly off, right? Okay, but he doesn't have. Okay, well, let's not think about medically today. He doesn't have any. Mum, right? But okay. So the Gemara is saying. So what's the difference between the two? That a guy, even a guy with Mara sign, can't do what? Shouldn't do what? What? He shouldn't do this stuff. Okay. So the Gemara. So now it's what the reason why this is an interesting Gemara to start off Mara sign with is that you see there's two perspectives that the Gemara is talking about from the perspective of from the halachic system out, meaning we don't care about Mara sign. So what would you say? So you'd say the first issue is, you were saying that, the first issue is...
He's not a Kohen anymore.
You say he's not a Kohen, that's type one, right? Right, and the second one's saying that a Shem Kohen is unable to emerge. That's a very halachic idea. But then where would Mara Zion fit in?
That's not the second one, that's not what I was saying.
What was the second one?
That a Shem Kohen could emerge, but the story was added after it.
Oh, fine, yeah, fine. All right, okay. Sorry. But what's how would Mara Zion fit in?
Mara Zion is the...
It wouldn't. In the pure halachic realm, there's no room for something like Mara Zion because he doesn't have what? A mum. Right, there has to be a psul to attach himself to. Where's the mum? There's no mum, right? So the guy's an ugly guy, but there's no mum there, right? So and it just shows you how Mara Zion works on a different trajectory. Because if you're looking at it naturally through the halachic system, there is no mechanism to say that this thing is a problem, right? But from the Mara Zion standpoint, what do you say? Right, in other words, the effect.
Between, types of,
there you go. Exactly. Right. No, you're right. In other words, but what a person's unable to do is a person can't differentiate between, he doesn't differentiate between the mum, the real halachic mum, and the the fact that the guy looks ugly. By the way, and that's actually a yusod to this whole area. Yusod in the whole area is going to be is that the problem of Maris Ayin is that a person, the average Jew, is unable to understand how halakhic categories operate. Okay? In other words, we know in type 1 and type 2, those are actual mumim, right? And if we were a society of philosophers, we wouldn't have to go any further. Because what you would say is like this, like, this would be perfect for someone like young Roth over there. What he would say is, he's in the Beis HaMikdash, right? And he sees three Kohanim, right? And he sees, oh, that's got, and he'll classify them. That's type 1 mum. That's type 2 mum, which has a huge halakhic nafkamina. And the third guy, he's ugly. Now, he could be more disturbing looking, right, than type 1 and type 2. And yet, what would you say? No mum. Right, he's perfectly fine. You'd scream out and say, well, there's nothing wrong with this guy, even though he's so god-awful ugly that he should be worse than the first two. But luckily speaking, it's not the case, right? But the average person doesn't see it that way. The average person can't appreciate the nuances between, or doesn't, between a mum and what we would call a blemish. See, that's one of the Iker ideas about Maris Ayin, that the average person doesn't understand how halakhic categories work. They don't see things in halakhic categories. They see things as like purely physical.
It's interesting. At the beginning of the great book.
Then he moved into the case of the Kamiya, right, which is what daf samach alvam and alv, right? So what does the Gemara there say? So the expert, a really good amulet, the best kind of healing amulet. How do you know it's a good healing amulet?
It works three times.
Kozaka. Imagine today, I'm just saying, that's a side point. Imagine today that... Right. So that means it's a really good Kamiya. Okay, and it doesn't matter if it's Echad Kamiya Shoksav, Echad Kamiya Shol Ikarin, Echad Kolosh Eish Bosakana, Echad Kolosh Eina Bosakana, right? Loshi Nichva, Eloshel Yichva. Okay, whatever. All those are, doesn't matter. Those are different characteristics of various amulets. Now here's the key thing: the kosher. So remember, how do they wear the amulet? They wore it around their neck. So it's mutter to do what?
Wear it around
the
neck.
Tie and untie.
No, and tie and untie, and it's just a okay, but the Vavad.
Uvitabas.
Okay. Rashi, Maris. Now that's not the same Mechzi as Mechzi Kibara. That's a different Mechzi. But it looks like what? It looks like. Right. So again, what's the case? The case is that rather than wear the amulet around your neck, what do? You attach it to your bracelet, which I think is the easiest way to picture it because they're actually kind of big. But anyway, imagine like a person's got like one of those bracelets that has little trinkets on it. He adds the amulet onto it. So now when you walk out the Rosh Hashanah, what's the person going to say? Oh, Horowitz, usually, you're not wearing it for healing purposes. You're wearing it for jewelry. I've seen you in... No? Okay. Different Horowitz? I know, when it comes to tzaddik, I gotta assume he's not doing anything wrong, right? B'lav tachshehu, ela machmas dagas choli. So what's this idea? So what's this idea of Maris Ayin now?
The derech levisha of an object.
Well, cool, the havmina. Start with that first. Let's start with that first.
Havmina is just the halacha. So they look at it, that doesn't matter how you do it. This thing is a refuah amulet. So if you have it on you, the assumption being is that refuah amulet. To me, the refuah amulet doesn't change.
Well, let's start from the beginning. Did the guy do anything wrong?
No.
And is he wearing this for the purpose of healing? Yes. No, without question. Okay? So you can't say he did anything wrong in his action, right? So you're right, normally it's worn a certain way, but insofar as this thing as a healing amulet is concerned, has he done anything wrong? No. Nothing at all. Right? So what's the chiddush, but what's the problem Maris Ayin here? What's it attached to now? What's the Maris Ayin? The Derech Mabush, right? Meaning that it's true, you're right, Mipi, this object itself, I don't change his definition, right? But to the average person, what are they going to say? They're going to say the shinui in your mabush does what?
Make it not a...
Well, let's be careful.
No,
right.
It, you're not using it for its healing purposes now, because that's not...
Exclusively. There could be another avenue. In other words, changing the way I wear it introduces another avenue now for the roa. And the roa is going to say, it's not exclusively for healing purposes, it could be he's wearing it for a tachshit. Okay? Right? So what they're saying is that what I would say is not how I wear it, it's how I relate to it. Right? But from the Roa's perspective, the Derech Levisha is what defines the objective. Once I change the Derech Levisha, I've now done something. I've now opened up another path for people to, when they observe it, to say, oh, he's wearing it for a reason other than Refuah. So that's where Maris Ayin expresses itself in this case. Okay? And it's still within the area of Isser. It's always related to Isser, because what are they going to say? If he's wearing his Atakshit, now it's a problem in Shabbos, we're in Shas Rabbim. Okay? Okay. So far, so good?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So far, taking a step back, the case of Bechoros and this case, to me, are both really good. There's a million examples like this, by the way. But they're very good examples of like introductory concepts of Maris Ayin, where you see that in the case of the Mumim, people don't differentiate between physical and halakha categories. And then by the case of the Kamiya, so it's just simply that something as benign as the way the guy wears it, right, redefines the objective of the object, and we take that into account. So you shouldn't do that. It'd be a problem. Okay? Now, of course, if we stopped here, what would be the problem now?
Everything be
about. Yeah, what's not Maris Ayin? Right? What's not Maris Ayin? Okay. So that's why I next went into the case in Beitza about the Mechzi. Because I want to get rid of that, put that out of the way, because you see Mechzi is also sounds a lot like Maris Ayin, right? Which was let's just do one in Shabbos. That's the better example, right? The one in Shabbos is Kuf Lamed Dal Amal. Right, so what does it say there?
Why
are
all of
these on the bottom of the amulet and they go over to the next amulet? Always every single one.
Kuf Lamed Dal doesn't. The word time say that. I don't know. Okay, so what does the Gemara there say?
Okay, Rashi, you can't be misanin the chardal on Yantav. Why? Kiborer, right? So it looks like it looks like borer, right? So why is it a Maris Ayin? Why is it not Maris Ayin? Okay, I think the Meiri adds says that openly, right? Doesn't he say over there that? He says, Mineshin Nira Kibora. Why? Shari Epsolas Nisharis Mesanenis. Right? So it has all the, it definitely looks like Borer. So how is Mechzi different than Maris Ayin? So what do we say?
Maris Ayin was when you open up an avenue for the observer to interpret your action in a certain way.
Right. Without the Kiyama Isser. I'm going to put it in quotes, Kiyama Isser. Right? In other words, Maris Ayin, Mechzi means I'm doing, every single thing I'm doing in that action, like, has the appearance of, or has the structure of being Usser, except for one important component. The Isser itself, the Kiyama Isser, right? But Maris Ayin is where, what are you doing? You're opening up an avenue for people to make a mistake about something, to misconstrue. So they input a context of Isser into my action. And that's a critical difference. Mechzi Kibora is the action I'm doing looks like Borer, right? In it, okay? And if you were the average person walking by, I'm not saying it is a Maris Ayin issue, but if you're walking by, you'd say that's Borer because it has all the trappings of Borer. But what's it lacking though? The Kiyum Isser, okay? Whereas by Maris Ayin is much different. Maris Ayin is I'm doing something benign. And what are people doing? They're inputting a context of Isser. They're introducing a context of Isser into my action. What have I done? I'm just wearing my kriya. What have I done? Okay. Shouldn't say that way, right? But I'm just wearing my healing amulet, right? What have I done wrong, right? Or I'm what do you call it? So I have like an ugly face. So I go, well, what am I doing wrong? I'm going to the base of Mekdash to Duchen. There's nothing in the action itself. There's nothing wrong. They create a context of Isser in the Maisa. Okay, so that makes Mechzi a lot different. All right, it's again. This is I'm bringing this in to show, in my opinion, a strong contrast between what Maris Ayin is and what it's not. Maris Ayin means they're introducing the context of Isser into the Maisa, whereas by Mechzi means I have all the trappings of the Maisa of Isser, just lacking a Kiyum Isser.
So where do you decide when it has all the trappings of an Isser?
Mechzi Kibora.
That's
a good question. Before we look at the Gemara, it's a very troubling idea because if Maris Ayin is really based on an observer, so how could they extend the Isser to include when I'm when I'm alone, when I'm in private, how could such a thing exist? Okay, so let's take the classic svara given for Chadrei Chadarim, right, and then we'll go to that case in Beitza, which I think really brings it out best. And then we can work out those other cases in Beitza, the different ladder variations. Okay, but anyway, what does the Gemara in Shabbos say in Samach Dalam Abayis? My favorite case, not the camel case, right? So it says, "Amar Yud Amar Rav." Okay, so anywhere where the Chachamim Aser, because of Maris Ayin, it's extended into right. Now, see, like an listen, I am Shodchan Lechama. I love this case. So what happens? So a guy's clothes. Yeah, from the rain. And what does he want to do? Dry him out on his lawn. Okay, great case, right? So the lach is he can't do it. Well, he can't do it publicly. Okay, so he could do it, let's say, in his laundry room, but he can't do it out in front of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Ah, so and whereas Rev Eliezer of Shimon, Osrin, right? They say it's Usher. Why is it Usher? Chadrei Chadarim. Okay. Now, as Rashi explains, why can't I do it publicly? Is there any problem whatsoever in drying my clothes? Right, then people are going to say the kvisa, because there's nothing wrong with laundering my clothing. Actually, with drying my clothing. The act of leaving my clothing out to dry is not a maisa kvisa. So there's nothing in my action itself that says I'm doing something wrong. But nonetheless, people are going to say I did kvisa. Okay. So what's the machlokas on... what's a simple way of learning this machlokas? I mean, simple. Really easy. Right, your tone's been great today. So let's take the first set. I know. Well, let's forget. I gotta get this on. I want to record this. So what was the first? Okay. So if you say what? If you say they extended the Chadrei Chadarim, what does that really mean? It always included Chadrei Chadarim, right? It's not that there's two domains. Rather, they changed the Maisa, and they say the Maisa now is one that's Aser. Which again, building on the theory I have, is once you add that external element of what of Chil Hashem, which means that my Maisa can't produce a Kiyam of Chil Hashem, then what they can then do is they can say, okay, well, any time, rather than say we're going to take into account scenario A or B, we're going to say the Maisa itself is now one that is Aser. So they change the Maisa. They say now every Maisa, the Maisa itself becomes a problem. Okay, so the Maisa of drying my clothing itself is a problem. So there's no mechanism to differentiate between Chadrei Chadarim and a public place. Ah, so what does the other side say? Right, and what's that feature?
The effect of the Maisa.
Which is what? Which is based on what, though? But there's a delineation, though. Well, the observer's tied to what, though? This you have to say at this point. To the makom. I mean, there's two kinds of makomos, right? There's a makom rabba, makom that's private, right? So it doesn't mean, now, at this point, it doesn't mean there couldn't be a roa in a private makom. Could be, but we don't care, because that makom, the place, is not one that's set up for a viewer, right? So the other way to say is that they added an accidental feature to the action, but that accidental feature is tied to the makom, right? And there's two kinds of makomos. There's public and private. Okay? So that's how Chadrei Chadarim could be separated out from a public place. But the shita that holds, and it's funny, it's counterintuitive, but when he says afilu b'chadrei chadarim, what he really means to say is that the whole maisa was changed. Okay? That's the basic introduction to Chadrei Chadarim. Okay? So how far did they take Maris Ayin? According to the side of Chadrei Chadarim, they went as far as to actually change the maisa itself. Right? Okay. Now I think it was the first, which those was?
Yeah, good.
Okay. So now we're coming to the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, which I know was a little bit, we hung up on that for a little bit. Right? So what the Gemara in Avodah Zarah is what? It's Yud Bei Zaman Aleph, right? So what can't you do?
Bow down to idols while picking up your coins.
Right. Yashavlo coats. Gabriel.
Yashavlo coats.
Okay. So at first the Gemara says what? If a guy goes ahead and let's say he has a thorn in his ankle or whatever, his money falls out, right, in front of the Avodah Zarah, he can't bow down, right, to pick up that money in front of the idol. Okay? Where, though? At this point.
It looks like
Ainu Nira, which sounds like it means what?
In public.
In public, right? So then if you skip ahead, the Gemara later on says, that's not what we meant, right? Where it says, Ela ima im Ainu Nira kemishachave labodos chavim mutter. Okay? And Rashi explains, what's the difference there? What does Ainu Nira actually mean? It doesn't mean in a makam where no one can see. It should be a makam where a public area. Rather, what it means is that as long as the guy does what?
Shinui,
right? Yeah, Shepone Achra Votsido Votsadavos Chacham. He does some sort of change in his action of when he bows down to pick up the money, so to speak, that would not be Nirek Mishtachavet. Yes?
Just practically, couldn't you,
there's a line they want to draw, right? There's a line that Chazal draw that as long as the action has to still fit into, has to still be linked to something halachic, right? At this point.
I still have no idea how that's different.
The clothing case.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We'll swim back around and answer that. But for right now, it sounds like why does Kim Mishtachavet, we're going to call it Kim Mishtachavet, why is this Shinui Mishtachavet work?
Right. Yeah.
You can't see, right, it's nothing. It's nothing. It doesn't even register as an act of bound. Okay, fine. Okay, good.
That's a Maskana.
That's a Maskana, right. Okay, good. Okay. Okay, yeah. And then we have the Chulin case, right? It's also a fun one. I love that case. Oh, what does Tosa say here? Right, so we'll get back, when we do the Ram, we'll get back to that. Remind me when we do the Ram. We'll look at all Tosa. What? Yeah, no, right, exactly. All right, so what's the case in Chulin now? That's in Mem Aleph, right?
Yeah.
Right, so you can't do what? Ein Shochtin Laguma. Kol Iker. Right, in the Mishnah. So you can't do what? You can't shecht into a guma. Okay, why? Rashi. About osa guma b'soch beso. Why? We feel she kind of sedam masocha. Okay, v'shukul yasakin. Right, so what's the halacha? Rashi says what? About osa guma.
Mashma shochei b'socha v'gumara parteh.
Okay, so right. So the problem of shechting to a guma is what?
Is that like you worshiping idols?
It's some sort of idolatrous thing, right? Thing, whatever it is. Okay. So now the Mishnah says, but you could do it in your chatzar.
Water trail.
What?
Little water trail.
Well, we're gonna see that in a second. But right now, it's saying at this point, it says Aval osa guma b'sof beso. Okay, Bishvil Shikhanas Damasocha. Okay, so why is that possible? So go on, the Gemara says what?
Yeah,
but doesn't it say you can't shech into Guma ever in any situation? So Amar Abaye.
Amar Abaye, Rashi Raguma, Shubashur.
Right.
Amarle Rabba, the Hami, the Kasi, the Seifa, Ubashur Goyazaki, Mahal, the Rashi. The Rashi Labashur.
Askina. Right, Ella Amarava, Haki Kamar. This is how you read it. Ain Shochten.
Ain Shochten Laguma, Kolikir, Varutza,
the Naker Chatzero. But let's say a guy, really, you're not allowed to ever shech into a Guma. But let's say a guy wants to keep his Chatzer clean. Okay? So what does he do? Ketzer do Osa. What should he do? Osa.
Osa, Makam Chatzer Guma, Vishokri, Vidam Shosez, Vigorin Laguma.
Right, so what he should do is he should dig like a little trench, canal, right? And then shecht into the canal, and that canal will go into the guma, okay? Which is like a funny idea on the surface, because what are you really what are you really doing that's different? I mean, ultimately, isn't the blood going into?
Right.
Right. But you can't use, and this is the key point: you can't use the canal technique publicly. Why? Right. Okay.
What does that mean, though? Does that mean you can't like do it from your chatzer?
No. It means that if I said to myself, if I'm a smart guy, and I say, you know what, I can avoid the problem of Marasai by going to the shuk, right, and then digging this canal, and then shacking into the canal that goes to the guma, won't work publicly. Only works privately. Right. Only works privately. Okay.
And when we say privately, we're saying that the guma is also inside of the
tunnel. Correct. So what's okay? So back to Tosos. So Gabriel, what does Tosos say? Back in Memal Vemal.
Okay. Ain't shochtin laguma. Over me time, now you go to Kiyo, and the near I came a couple of them when we were coming. The Koshe, the Im Kane, below Oselo, Makam Kutsugum, Ika Takna, Alanaka Hatero, Lupikam, totally Zahir.
The Iker, yeah, Ika Takana, Alanaka Hatero. Okay, fine. So we see again. If a person sees you, if you're digging this canal, right, and then the guma, and you're shachting in your chatzar, what's a person going to say? They see you in the chatzar.
It's
just a clean. It's there to clean. Okay. So what does Tosa say? Shukul yasekin. Afagad amarav.
Afagad amarav. Vol makom shasu kamei bnei mar zayin. I feel like I'm going to be an usher. I need to come over shukul mechama. About looking at the am. Shim hayirohen also osik and bitzina.
Bitzina.
Bitzina, sorry. Hayasham chashag kamo shuk.
Right, but if someone, that's the key thing, if someone sees you doing the chatzer, they're always going to say, it's a nakar chatzer.
There's no idea of like cleanliness in the shuk, I guess. It seems like it's right.
I'm not sure why they wouldn't think that, but yeah, let's assume it's no idea like that in the shuk. Okay? Keep going.
Shaina
Shah Shalanu. Hiksha Mam Mimas Nisin Larav. So again, we'll touch on that when we get back to the Ron. But what's the idea here? Okay, what's the idea here?
Even the guy who says usher in private would hold it here. It's okay.
Correct.
Everyone says, think you're cleaning.
Right. So what makes this case of Meir Sinai a little bit unique, and why would you say it's mutter for me to do it with my chatzar? And it's interesting, it's mutter for me to do my chatzar, but I can't do it publicly. Why not?
Because
with the shinui. That's what's so odd about this. I can understand why I can't shach the guma. Let me ask a question. So the shachting into the guma in general is considered an action of? And even if my intention is what? It's objectively speaking an expression of idol worship. Exactly. But now what happens if I dig that canal, right, which it seems like it's connected to the guma, but I dig that canal, so now I've done a shinui. Okay? So what do we say? Why is it mutter for me to do it in private?
So according to Rav, so the reader defined the Maisa, the redefinition of the Maisa is determined based off the Chashash. If I take the Chashash away, which private would do, because I wouldn't think it was cleaning in your courtyard, then the Maisa never gets refined.
Right. So what Maisa is it now? What does it mean when people come by, they say he's doing lanakar chatzar? That means what? That now when he digs that ditch, why wouldn't it work in public? Why not? Right. So even though he does a shinoi, but at the end of the day, what's the problem? The problem is that it's only the chatzar can you say that he's redefining. Again, in defining what the objective is, he's redefining the maisa itself. And that's another key thing, that how Meir Sinai works. You have the ability that I, through my das, if I say, and again, it has to be obviously known that when you dig the canal in your chatzar, it's for the purpose of
Monaka.
Well, exactly, stam das, okay? So stam das is that case. What can that do? That can actually redefine the mice itself. So that won't work in the shuk. Because in the shuk, you can't say that's the objective. But here, his objective actually redefines the mice itself. Right?
Not his objective.
The stam objective. I mean, stam das, stam action of digging canal in your chatzar being for the purpose of cleaning, that redefines the maisa itself. Okay? So I think that's what this Gemara is bringing in. Okay. So I just want to have, let's,